fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're here in Holy Week, this most important week of the year, leading up to the Triduum on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the celebration of Easter. We remember, we walk through, we experience, we open our hearts to the reality of Jesus' death on a cross, his sacrifice for our sin, his saving act that redeems us, that is, puts us in right relationship with God the Father, makes it possible for us to become children of God. So the new creation can begin. I mean, everything happens here. Everything happens in Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension into the glory at the right hand of the Father, and it brings about salvation. This morning I was thinking of as early as the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, we get the message right from the beginning as Joseph is visited by an angel who tells him not to be concerned about the fact that Mary is with child. You can imagine his world was rocked when he realized that and found that out. And in verse 20, chapter 1, reads like this. It says, "But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." What is this week all about? This is the story of the sin problem, which produces the death problem, and the manipulation of those powers by the kingdom of darkness. And it's the story of Jesus, our elder brother, the firstborn, God's beloved son, who became one of us to break the back of the power of sin and death and to disarm the principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age, this fallen world. Jesus has come to do it. He's come to save us. Literally, Jesus came to die. That's why he was born. But he died in a particular way for a specific reason. He became, as the apostles tell us again and again, he became a sacrifice for sin. He's an offering of love to the Father. And in ways, his death is talked about as a redemption. It's talked about as an offering and a sacrifice. There's ways in which Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. We know the church teaches us in Scripture so clear that Jesus comes the first time as a sacrificial lamb, but because of his victory over the powers of sin and death, because his faithfulness to the Father, his obedience, his humility that broke the power of the pride that's at the root of all sin, Jesus' love, Jesus' humility, his obedience to the Father, and his love for us, took him to the cross, and on that cross, he shed his blood, and he defeated the powers of the enemy by making his own life an offering and sacrifice to the Father, offering his very life blood in obedience to the Father. And in that act, Jesus taking sin very, very seriously, I think one of the things would be really important as we walk through this Holy Week is to stop for a minute and to think about what a serious thing sin really is. I mean, there's pressure in the church to not talk about sin very much. I think sometimes priests feel pressure from people, I don't want to hear all that negative stuff. I don't think we hear it enough. Because here's Jesus, human history's most joyful, most free, most together, most loving, most caring, compassionate, purposeful human being. Jesus came with a very clear understanding of what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. It's missing the mark God has set for us. It's refusing to do the will of God. And it's so serious that the Son of God came to become a sacrifice for sin, the apostles tell us. He knows the Father, our Creator, is profoundly offended by human sin. He's not given what he's due. Sin is a refusal to do justice to God, to give to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God is the loving, surrender and trust and obedience of the creature for the Creator. God, who is pure goodness and love itself, shares his creation with us. In our fallen human nature, we forget God, we turn from God, we defy God. And we'll see the drama unfolding this week, even or really and so clearly in the life of the apostles themselves. You see one of Jesus' inner circle, Judas, betraying Jesus. Imagine, after living with Jesus for 3 years and seeing the kind of man he was and the love and the goodness and the purity in Christ and the absolute loyalty and his power and his glory, in so many ways they saw it through the signs and wonders that Jesus performed. Yet sin was at work deeply, deeply in Judas. Judas had his own plan. Judas had a clear picture in his mind what the mission of the Messiah meant. And he was going to try to manipulate Jesus into a position to accomplish what he thought was best. And he refused the grace. He refused to obey. And then Peter, my namesake, it's always a great reflection this time of the year to see Peter. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about it more in depth, who saw himself as just being Jesus' champion, I'm sure, and that great moment when Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Moses, Elijah, some say you are John the Baptist, whatever." And he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And here's Peter, given special grace by the Father. Jesus tells him later that there's no way he could identify Jesus without the help of the Father. And Peter states so clearly, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You're God's only Son, the Messiah sent to the world, the Savior of the world. And Jesus smiled upon him. And then minutes later, in his moment up there among the brothers, in that moment where he's probably feeling pretty good about himself and the wisdom that he's been given by God, he's going to extend what he thinks is the right wisdom when Jesus said, "It's time to go to Calvary." Peter said, no, this can't be right. And then Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." We are complex creatures, friends. We are fallen creatures. We are made by God, and what God made is good. But that good God, in his good creation has fallen. And we literally are dominated in so many ways by the world, the flesh, the devil, the power of sin at work in us. Jesus knew it. And he knew the human race was not giving to God what belongs to God. And he came to do just that, to be the faithful Son. In love and humility and obedience, he shows us the way that we're called to live. And he reveals to us so clearly the condition of our heart. You remember at one point that revelation that came to Peter, he saw himself in light of Christ, saw Jesus work the miracle of the fish and other things. And Peter began to see the reality of who he was. And he said, "Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man." What's clear from the scriptures, friends, is that sin, the reality of sin, has really left the human race, has brought us into a place of slavery, in a condition we can't escape under our own power. And sin's destiny is death. And so the enemy uses sin to entrap us and to enslave us so that we literally, as scripture says, we'll talk about this week, we become a curse. The curse of the law is upon us that says, if you don't fulfill the law, God's way, you're under a curse. And that curse leads to death. And there literally is no escaping it. That's why Jesus came. He came to free us. He came to redeem us with his own precious blood. Like a slave being bought out of slavery by the generosity of somebody offering money or something on behalf to set the slave free. That's redemption. And Jesus' death is like that. He offers his precious blood. He offers to the Father all that the Father deserves, really, all the sin of the world, which is the refusal to acknowledge God, is overcome, is washed clean, is blotted out by the offering of Jesus Christ, by the offering of his precious blood to the Father as a living sacrifice to God, Scripture says. There's so many passages. I just want to read a few before we close that just talk about the reality of sin. You can see how clear it was on the mind and the heart of the apostles. In Ephesians chapter 1, In verse 7, St. Paul says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us." Here's the heart of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's redeemed us through his blood. Friends, he's brought us out of this condition of slavery, this death-directed condition we were in, literally living in this world without hope. St. Paul says, without hope in the world. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Walk as Jesus walked. It's a high calling, friends, and it's a beautiful calling. Here he's saying, be imitators of God, beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? How did Christ love the Father? He gave himself up for us. He gave himself up for you. As you walk through this week, take time not only to think about the reality of sin and how grave and how serious it is that the Son of God would come, and then think about the reality of your own sin. That's present in your heart. It's present in my heart. The sins I have committed, the offenses against God, and receive the gift. This is personal. Jesus died for the sins of the world, Scripture says. But that means he died for your sin. He died for you because he loves you. This is the week of your redemption. This is the week of your salvation. This is the week we celebrate when the King came to save you, because he loves you personally. And he calls you into a personal relationship with him. And in his fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, you're there as he intercedes for you. He tells the Father, "I've offered up my life for Peter, for Susan, for Laura, for Tom. Father, I've offered up my life for them so that they can come home. They can be with us." Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to God our Father." To him who loves us. This whole week is about the love of Jesus and that love freeing us and that love expressed on the cross. And it's the blood of Jesus that frees us from sin. St. Paul will tell us that it's that blood that cleansed our conscience. It's that blood that blotted out reality of sin. It's that blood that and that sacrifice that won us favor with God. Paul tells us Christ died for our sins. He became sin for us so that he could become an offering for many. And that offering this week, friends, is for you. Receive it into your heart. Pray and seek the Lord for the grace to have Christ's mind in resisting sin, and Christ's power to walk in love. That's the grace that's here for us this week. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.